Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, April 27th, 2021, and this is a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter Agnostics, and we're going to be on page 53 today, unpacking paragraph 2, and it begins with when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, and ends with, what was your choice to be? What was your choice to be? Today's readers are the 12 steps, Dana P., the 12 traditions, Anna S., reading the steps and support today, Leslie M., Kara L., Leah S., and Robin P. The chair ID numbers for this particular meeting for the 10 a.m. Monday, April 26th meeting, 10 a.m. is 16836, 16,836. And then for Tuesday, 7 a.m. meeting that happened just a couple hours ago, the 27th of April, is 16839, 16,839. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dana P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, Melanie. Dana P. here. I'm in California. Thank you so much for allowing me to be of service. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Dana P. Dana P. from California. I will now ask Anna S. to please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Anna S. in New York, the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group would never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And I pass.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that, Anna S. And Anna S. is from New York. Anna is. Okay, so here we go. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And please take note, this is the star 1 key function only, please, rather than your personal mute on your phone line to avoid technology interruptions. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter, We Agnostics. We're on page 53, and we're unpacking paragraph 2 today, which starts with, when we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, and ends with, what was our choice to be? And I'd like to have Leslie M. start us off today by reading that paragraph and then sharing her experience on that particular application, and then we'll open up to the rest of the fellowship here to share. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade, we had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What was our choice to be? And the first thing that I hear in this paragraph is crushed by a self-imposed crisis. And, you know, I will tell, you know, anybody that speaks to me, hears me say this all the time, is that I can make a mountain out of any molehill. You know, someone looked at me wrong, it didn't matter how slight the perceived problem was, I could make it a huge thing that would go on for days and days and years, and that's, you know, when I fully conceded to my innermost self that I was a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety, that was when I finally had to look at this and make this decision, you know, and it says, what was my choice to be? I know that, you know, in the previous, for me, 67 years, I thought that I had to be in charge. I thought that my life was the only way things were going to be okay, is that I was in charge of everything. And I finally had to surrender to this. I started with, there's a God and I'm not it. And, you know, that started me continuing to think, I'm not in charge, I'm not in charge, I'm not in charge. I had to have God be it all. You know, I wasn't sure in the beginning, absolutely was not sure how to do that. So I started, as I said, with there's a God and I'm not it. You know, I'm grateful to have learned, all the other things that I've learned through as I've worked the steps entirely abstinently. that, you know, I can reach out to God at any moment. And that if God, if it feels like God isn't there for me anymore, that, you know, it's me that's moved. It's not God. God will always be there for me. And I've heard, I heard it a bunch of times this morning, and I feel exactly the same way, is that whatever happens in my life today, it's exactly what I'm supposed to have happen, and that God's got my back. You know, I didn't ever feel, have trust or faith that, that there was anything else that, that was going to, you know, that was going to take care of me. But in this program, you know, following this book, I have found that, that faith and that trust that my life is exactly where it's supposed to be, you know, and each day it gets better, you know, and the things that I need to do, the footwork that I need to do, you know, shows up very easily. You know, I can be useful to others. I can, you know, reach out my hand. You know, obviously I need to be abstinent. I need to be sponsoring, you know, but those are just the little things in my day. And I was speaking with someone earlier, and I said that one of my original sponsors said to me that I don't need to fit my life into program. I need to fit, no, I don't need to fit program into my life. I need to fit life into my program. And that is the biggest thing that, that, that I deal with every day. And for me today, I know that God is everything. And I'm so grateful to be in this place where I can see that and feel that and trust that every day. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Leslie. I'm from New York. The lines are now open for comments on paragraph 2, page 53 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, what was our choice to be? And that's what encompasses that particular paragraph. If you'd like to share on that paragraph, please press star 1, give me your name, the first initial of your last name, and your state. And although we do value your experience very much, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. If you share it on Friday or yesterday, then tomorrow would be your day to start sharing. But in the meantime, I'd like to take a list of others who would like to comment.
Elena.
Elena. So Elena C. I didn't quite catch it all. Anyone else?
Leia S.
Leia S. Anyone else?
Alice G.
Mo H.
Alice G. Mo H. Hi, good morning, y'all.
Kara L.
Brenna B.
Did I say Kara? Is that what we heard?
Yep.
And then Brenna? Is that what I heard? Brenna?
Brenna B.
Brenna B. Okay. And that. And one more. What was that?
Natalie M.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. That gives us a 7 to start here. Okay, so I have Elena C. I think I didn't quite catch it all. Leia S, Alice G, Mo H, Kara L, Brenna B, and Natalie M. Hi, Elena. You're first up. Elena C., do you want to press star 1 if I have that correct?
Hi, good morning. I was talking to myself. My name is Elena C., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Greenville, South Carolina. And I have this whole paragraph highlighted. I really liked it, I guess. And I hear in this paragraph choices. The choices are black and white. They're not three or four choices. They're two choices. You either go with God or you don't. You either, you know, get a sponsor or you don't. You either work on the steps or you don't. You either have a food plan or you don't. And that's just how I translated it. You know, and if you choose, especially when you're crushed by self-imposed crisis, and the self-imposed crisis would be not choosing the path that it took me to healing, But like choosing diets or choosing different ways, like to abstain from eating at all, and that was not, that didn't lead me anywhere. So, but as I choose God, and I choose God when I work on the steps, when I do share, like, you know, reach out to my sponsor, when I stay and sponsor people, and when I do my 11th step, where when I pause during the day and I do a 10th step and I do a personal inventory, and then I turn my thoughts onto someone I could help or I who is in crisis, and so that is the path. That is the path that I choose today. And if I didn't choose that, then I will choose God is not. God is nothing. And then it's just not going to work for me, because I'm an addict. And as an addict, I can only be restored to sanity by simply choosing higher power, by working on the steps. And the higher power of my understanding, he or she has worked so miraculously in my life. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Elena C. Up next is Leah S., and then Alice G. will follow you, Leah.
Thank you very much, Melanie. My name is Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn, and very grateful. So this paragraph is very paramount. It's God either is or is not. And it is applied to every area of my life. Now, what am I talking about? Most of the time, I needed to break everything down to simple terms, really simple terms. So here's simple terms. On page 48, there is a word that stands out so much for me, and that means, what was my persuader? What really kept me in these rooms and kept me coming back and back and back? Because every time it played over and over again, all the pain that I had from overeating and not having a solution and just resorting again to that food and again. So what was I looking for in that food? That food was giving me a good feeling. Until it did not. It wore off. But God, the God concept is something that is like really a forever kind of thing. You know, and there is a solution, it talks about a fourth dimension. It's something that is felt. You know, they give a wonderful example. You know, you walk into a room towards evening and you just automatically turn on the lights. It's not that you don't see, but all of a sudden it becomes clearer. It becomes absolutely more doable, more confident, more everything. And that's what I resort to. It's either God is or God is not. And he has to be in my life, because today I can't function without that. I really can't. The only thing is I am human, and I need to be reminded about it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leah S. from New York. Up next is Alice G., followed by Mo H.
Thanks, Melanie. This is Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. Grateful to be abstinent today. Thank you, God, for this program and the solution that I found here. I love this whole chapter, right? Everybody says that the previous paragraph talking about logic and how, you know, I always want to make sense of stuff. And God doesn't always make sense to me. And it's okay for me not to know all the answers. That self-imposed crisis of being in the food, yeah, that just was horrible. I mean, I kept trying to kill myself with the food, creating my own suffering day after day after day. And Either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What is our choice to be? And today I get to have a choice. I get to have a choice to put my food in the cup, pick up the simple tools laid at my feet, make my calls, do my reading and writing, and choose that God is everything. And when I'm clear and abstinent, I get to see God's hand in my life. This weekend, we had a crisis of sorts at our home. My daughter's pony went down, and he had to be put to sleep. And, you know, I don't ever want my kid to experience pain, and yet that's part of living, is the pain. Part of loving is the pain of letting go. And she had to make that decision on her own for her pony selflessly, instead of trying to keep him alive so we could be comfortable, right? Because those are the things I want to avoid. I want to avoid discomfort that life has given me. That's why I kept eating, is to think I could be comfortable. And it, like a boomerang, like Bill Wilson said, it turned on me. And I was grateful to see God's hand in it, in that my daughter got to spend the whole day with the pony, the horse. And his last day, they were together all day, as painful as it was, you know. So today I choose that God is everything. And I can see the beauty in his creation and his plan today, whether I like it or not. And we all take some hard knocks, right? But we walk together because God has laid this path out for us. So just trusting that maybe I can't see the road ahead, but there is a road, right? When we drive down the highway, we don't always see the road ahead, but we trust that there's a road. And it's the same way that with God. I trust that he has a plan. So thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you, Alice G. from Wisconsin. Mo H., you're up next, and then Kara will follow.
Yeah. Good morning, Melanie. Thank you very much for your service and all those on the line giving service and all those on the line. Good morning. My name is Mo H. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Walnut Creek, California. And I'm just sitting here listening to everybody's shares, and it's like we're all saying the same thing, just with different words. And I love it. And the other thing about this paragraph, that Bill really, really didn't mince his words. He really just told us like it is, that when we became food addicts or alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, not crushed by a food crisis, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face, I love his words, that God is either everything or he is nothing. I must decide. I have to make that decision. God either is or he isn't. And there is no middle of the road here. There is no treading the edge of the balance beam. You know, I have to be on it. No middle of the road. So I've noticed recently, and living alone, that I am really leaning on God more and more and more, because I don't have my husband here to bounce decisions off of, or to discuss something with, or to, look at something we want to remodel. And so, you know, I think about it, and I may talk to my kids about it, but then I'm going to God. And I'm saying, you know, God, what is your plan here for me? And every morning when I get up, when I do the upon awakening prayer, I'm bringing God into my life at all times. And I'll stand in the middle of wherever I am. Usually it's the kitchen. And I'll say, no, I don't know what to do next. I need your guidance. I just looked on my computer, and one of the organizations that I'm dealing with continues to draw money, their monthly money, out of the wrong bank account. And I've given them the voided check for the new account twice. and it isn't happening. So I'm not going to get upset. I am just going to go and make the phone call and talk with them about it and you know, talk and be nice, be kind and loving and tolerant of the other person on the line. So this is a very powerful paragraph for me, you know. Bill, just as I said, does not mince words. He gets right on it. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Thank you, Mo H. from California. Kara L., you're next, and Brenna will follow. Hi, Kara.
Good morning. Hi, Melanie. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from California. You know, I love the crushed by self-imposed crisis we could not postpone or evade. And what is a self-imposed crisis to me? Well, that could be I don't think I'm enough at work and I'm going to get really upset about something at work. And that could be something in my family. Oh, no, this is going to go wrong. Blah, blah, blah. That could be something out. You could have cut me off on the car and that would be a crisis for me. Self-imposed, right? And in those moments, thankfully, I'm starting to recognize that that's myself. That's me. And when I'm agitated and upset, that's me being in self. And what is my solution today? Well, I got to have a choice. God is or he isn't. What's my choice? And today, thankfully, for this morning that I woke up, because I woke up in self-imposed crisis, right? I woke up and my brain was already going. And what do I know today? Well, today I know that I have to take quiet time. I have to find that connection with my higher power. I have to work these steps. I get the privilege of listening to other fellows tell me how they're dealing with their self-imposed crisis. You know, I get that opportunity. This morning I had a beautiful just visualization of like, okay, I'm going to step into God's flow. There's a beautiful inner tube sitting there waiting for me on a river, and I got to get in the river, and I either can try to take that inner tube upstream on my own, or I can just let it go, to step into that power and abundance that's there for me and go with it. And how do I do that? Well, I just ask my higher power's opinion on everything. You know, breakfast, clothes, what should I tackle next at work? God, give me an intuitive thought, inspiration, or a decision. When I'm feeling disconnected, that's what I do. I ask on all the small things. I want to know what my higher power has to say. And sometimes when I get stuck, I just say, God, please do for me what I cannot do for myself, because I don't know. Or sometimes I just say, help. Or God, I don't know. I trust that you will help me here, and I just don't know. And today, I find comfort in that. Today, I know that when I release it and I let go, then my higher power will step in for me today. And so all those self-imposed crises, there's a solution today for me, and that's this book, and that's these steps, and that's this design for living, and that's my fellows. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. from California. Brenna B., you're up next, and then Natalie will follow you. And I wanted to just mention before you jumped in, Brenna, that I'll be able to open it up for two or three more comments on paragraph 2, page 53 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics. Paragraph 2, page 53.
This is Natalie M., and I'm going to pass for this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Okay. Okay, thanks, Natalie. Hi, Brenna. So 3 minutes. We'll have a chance to open it up again. It's your turn, Brenna. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Brenna B., compulsive overeater from Mesa, Arizona. Thank you, everybody, for your service. This paragraph really speaks to me. I came in agnostic, and I had a lot of prejudices against God from my childhood, a lot of anger. When I first came into the rooms, I remember leaving a meeting sobbing because of the God idea. I just didn't get it. It's a really difficult concept for me, and it's something that I have to work on every single day. And you know, this, it really is, my choice today, my choice is to believe, because, you know, it's either I continue to stay in the misery or I have faith. And so today I choose to have faith, and hearing other fellows and their recovery, their peace that they have found in life, that is really what gives me hope. And that's what gives me faith that it's worked for so many other people. And hearing everybody that shares their recovery and their faith, it really, I just thank you all for that, because it's so huge for me. It makes such a difference for me. And I think that's all I've got to say, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Brenna B. Brenna B. is from Arizona, looks like. So I'd like to open up the lines. Looks like probably for at least 4, maybe 5 more shares this morning. We'll see how that goes. If you give me your first name, the first initial of your last name, and providing you haven't shared on Friday or Monday, I can take a lineup.
Larry G. in California.
Larry
G.
California.
I heard Rob
Boulder.
Larry B. And then I heard somebody else from California.
Terry P.
Or R.
Terry B.
California.
Okay.
Wendy M.
Or R.
Laura R. Okay, let's go with that
lineup
there. Okay, I'm going to see what 4 will do, and then we'll grab you up, so don't go anywhere. I have Larry G., Robin, Terry P., and Laura. Let's go with that, please,
it's
Aura, right now.
It's O-R-A, Aura.
I heard a Laura also. Did I not hear a Laura? A Laura R.?
Aura R.
No, it was Aura.
It was not you, Laura. Okay, great, thanks. Okay, so you'll be the last one then on that list. And we'll probably have time for maybe one more, but let's go with this. So, Larry, would you open us up for 3 minutes, please?
Sure. My name's Larry, and I'm a recovered compulsive eater. And thank you so much for you and your team service today. I have been reading the Big Book since 1981, and I'm sitting here in tears, reading and listening to these shares this morning. What a way to study the Big Book, one paragraph at a time. So powerful. And this is exactly what I needed to hear this morning. I wish I was one of these types of people in recovery that could just get it once. You know, I choose God just once, either or there's a God, and I choose there's a God, and I don't have to like do this every single day I wake up. Because today I woke up and I'm self-employed. And I've got a third text I've got this month of somebody, a client who's ending their service, happy ending their service. And I'm in fear of economic insecurity. Now, God just rescued me off the pile of cow manure, last May, and brought me to visions and gave me a life worth living. I'm sitting in this nice house, you know, blue collar home, nice house, nice neighborhood. I've got 3 meals planned for the day, kitchen full of food. Loving wife just drove off in a nice serviceable car. I've got everything I need, and I'm in economic fear. And so the way I'm going to turn this around is ask myself the question, Larry, what do you have to fear if you truly believe there's a God? If you really believe there's a God, what is it that you have to fear? Nothing. I have nothing to fear. I have been given so many gifts this past 12 months in terms of recovery. And I feel like I'm waking up this morning like a spoiled child sitting around the Christmas tree, ripping through all the gifts and still not satisfied. I just needed to hear this today. I need to hear everybody on this call today sharing so courageously. So I will fiercely go today and show up as a professional I am. And God is my employer. Not my clients. God is the economy, not the U.S. economy. And God is my treasurer, not the U.S. treasurer. Treasury, that's the promises and the contract I make by doing the third step prayer. So inspired by this call today. Thank you, Mel, for your service. I'm out. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Robin P., you're up next from Florida, Mexico.
And then Terry P. will follow you.
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater currently in Vero Beach, Florida. Thanks so much, Mel, for your service and everyone on the line who gives service today. I'm so grateful. You know, I just love this. Either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. I came into the program a devout atheist, and I just saw God on the walls and ran. And this program was my bridge to God. And I don't think that, you know, God, I don't think there's any other way that I would have been open, honest, open, and willing to recover or to have a relationship with God. It was through the gentle, you know, God of your understanding. And I kept thinking, how could God be everything when there were all these things going on that did not look like God to me? And I grew up in so much child abuse, and where was God? And it always looked like the scariest, darkest spirit in the room won in my childhood, and it was really challenging for me. And it was, you know, someone at the very beginning said, just any power greater than your God, which was food, because I ran to food for everything. Anytime a feeling, I was bulimic, I was anorexic, I was a compulsive reader. Literally anytime a feeling came up, it came up. And I had to just start relying on any power greater than food. And it was a road to recovery, trudging the road of happy destiny, you know, along with my fellows. And I'm so grateful today. You know, I have a God that I still don't, you know, I still have things that I'm grappling through. Like, God, where are you with all this? I'm sensitive to electromagnetic field radiation and 5G. I get massive headaches from it. And the U.S. is a challenging place for me. And yet that's where we are today. And, you know, I get to have faith over fear. This is my faith walk. This is not my fear walk. This is not my resting on my laurels walk. This is my faith walk. And, wow, I really don't understand sometimes. But I do understand that God keeps doing for me what I could not do for myself, and that God sends angels to help me. You know, and we're a block from the beach where I ground every day in the ocean barefoot. It cleans off my electromagnetic fields and, you know, my energy fields. That's what EKGs work. We're all energy. And I, God keeps giving me tools while we're here in this place that I don't understand. So God bless everybody. And all I have to do is look around me to see how powerful God is in my life and to look at myself and how much I've grown up. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. Thanks. So thanks again now.
Thank you, Robin P. Terry P. from California, you're next for three, and then Aura will come in after you.
Hi, this is Terry P., compulsive overeater. This paragraph is really something. The part that strikes me as the crushed by self-imposed crisis, and I didn't really think about being in the food as a self-imposed crisis. I thought it was more like something that happened to me. But yesterday I would have had 5 weeks of abstinence, and I ate one of my foods that is not good for me to eat, and it set everything in motion. And it was just quick, powerful, and all that. And I was like, I don't know if I want this program now, and maybe this isn't for me. And you know, so I talked to my sponsor. My sponsor said, you know, why don't you pray about it? You know, see what comes up. So, like, I know God is, you know, it says God, either God is everything or he's nothing. Well, God's kind of in between for me because, you know, I woke up today and I knew that this program is for me, but I'm not to the point where God is everything. And I know, and God's telling me that I need this program. And, you know, I let up on it for 5 days. I realized 5 days I stopped calling people and stopped doing anything. But so I want that relationship where I feel like God is everything, but I'm not there. But I know God exists. So you know, so, and I don't want to go into a self-imposed crisis because that sets, that closes the door on God. And I can't afford that. And I don't want that. And that's not what God wants for me. So, yeah, I got a lot, I'm getting a lot out of this. Yeah, it's just, it's really, really powerful how quickly I can have one thing of my, one food, and it wasn't a lot, it was one, and then it set everything in motion. So cunning, baffling, and powerful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Terry P. Aura P., you're up now for 3 minutes, and it looks like we'll probably have room for at least one more after Aura. Hi, Aura.
Thank you. This is Aura R. from California, and a compulsive overeater. I like the part in the chapter when it says that we fearlessly had to face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. And I wiggle back and forth, not whether he is or isn't, but what he is to me. I've had a rough couple of weeks. I've remained abstinent, but I've been fighting a medical issue that has had me taking extra medications that messed with my serenity. And people, you know, I live with my husband, and sometimes I have to tell him it's better for me to stay in the bedroom and be quiet than to be out in the middle of the family, because I just don't have any filter. It's like all my skin has been stripped off and my nerves are exposed and raw. And I really need to take care of myself during that. Even the TV on or the dog barking can just send me over the edge. And even though I've remained abstinent, I've had to adjust my food to different textures in order to be able to eat them. And this comes from being a 3-time cancer survivor and having stomach issues. So I guess what I'm learning, I'm about 60 days, 65 days abstinent, but taking care of myself, that self-love and acceptance, and letting people know how I feel, you know, expressing myself so that, you know, allowing people to take my responsibilities over for me so that I'm not putting that added stress on me. And that's been a gift, you know, to learn that about myself, that it's okay to ask for help, that that's also self-love. And just knowing that, you know, reaching out in that way and just trying to show up as best I can today. And that might just be, you know, having my abstinent meals, but still staying quiet so that I can keep myself safe and not stress out. I'm really glad this meeting here. I want to thank everybody for showing up, you know, and I've been praying. I, you know, when I get in that spot where I just want to cry because it just is so painful. Thank you. That's when, you know, I ask God, just hold me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Aura R. from California. It looks like time will allow for at least one more person to share for 3 minutes or two people to share for 2 minutes each.
Laura R.
Would you like to share for two or would you like to take the three?
I'll take two.
You'll take two. Okay, so I'll Thank choose you. One more. And I heard Sherry.
Sherry
think,
W. Please, yes.
Is that what I heard? Okay, I didn't know if I
Correct.
Heard that or Wendy M. first. Okay, does anybody know if I heard Sherry or Wendy first? I'll let you guys decide. Okay, so it's Laura R. and Sherry W. Thanks. Hi, Laura. You're two.
Hey, good morning. I did want to pipe in the other time around, but I just didn't open my mouth. So anyway, glad to
okay.
be here.
Okay.
Yeah, you felt the energy. Anyway,
maybe.
Glad to be here. I know. I'm just so grateful. I don't know. I sometimes feel crushed myself by myself, but you know, it's so amazing when I love this book because as it continues to unfold, I remember the first time I looked at, like, I realized, oh my gosh, I'm the one doing, like, I'm the problem. Like, I'm the one that's crushing myself. Like, what? Like, it just blew me away because for so long I was always pointing the finger at others. But, you know, I am so grateful today that I love everyone shares, you know, just, you know, no, at every point turning to God. You know, I have to because I know what I'm capable of doing to myself and to others, and it is not, it's not good. And I had, I'll just say this really quickly with the bedevilments. I had a sponsor sit me in there and say, okay, take the bedevilments and go, is God nothing? And what would that look like? And to sit there and look at my relationships and to sit there and look at my, you know, all that, you know, just the fear and the misery and the, am I useful if God is nothing? Like, I can see my past and know what I do without God. But if God is everything, what could it be? And it's just amazing to take all those and see what God can do for me. And that's been my experience. You know, God has done for me what I could not do for myself. And it's amazing. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Laura R. And then Sherry W., you'll take us out for two. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Yes, thanks for your service. Sherry W., recovered compulsive overeater in Nevada. What I hear in this is that God, do I give him everything in my life, or do I foolishly think I can pick and choose what I allow him to be in charge of and what I don't want him to be in charge of? Do I surrender to God's plan in everything, including my food and my addiction? Or do I behave like an agnostic with my food and addiction, but a believer in everything else? Either I believe God should have everything in my life or not. So when I finally, truly took step one, really this time, for the very first time in my life, I was not just being compliant, but I was really conceding, surrendering in my innermost heart that I have this addiction. I'm out of solutions, and I am finally ready to concede, surrender to a power greater than myself, because obviously my life and my relationships had become unmanageable, and I must allow God to take it all, control it all. So I'm grateful that God wants to take charge of my life because God's plan for me is infinitely superior than anything I could imagine and implement myself. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sherry W. from Nevada. That would end the sharing part of our meeting today. Thank you so much for everyone that shared today. In this recorded part of the meeting, it has been absolutely just a blessing to stand by and listen to these testimonies this morning. And for those that were of service here on a vision for you this month of April, hopefully you're sticking around for May. We'd love to have that as well. So in the meantime, I'd like to ask if Kara L. would please read from page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only, to close out this recorded portion as we move on to the last 10 minutes of our unrecorded meeting. Hey, Kara, thank you.
Thank you. Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.